Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yud Gimel Ba'Adar, Tavshin Ayin Hey, Parashas Kisisa, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 3 March 2015, webcasting from the hills of Yehuda, fourth son of Yaakov ben Yitzhak ben Avraham. Well, I watched the speech today live from Capitol Hill, delivered by the Prime Minister of the Jewish Commonwealth Reborn. And my first reaction is that Israel is fortunate to have Binyamin ben Ben-Sion as its prime minister at this world historical moment. Better him than me, even though I think he missed the root cause of the problem, but that's okay. Better him than me, because I would have been in danger of exceeding good taste in dealing with the real root cause of this situation, which is the man named Barack Hussein Obama. Like a proper guest, Bibi saluted the absent president for all the good he has done Israel, which, truth be told, did not sound so good to me, but that's another story. The only time he got personal was indirectly by zeroing in on the published information regarding the negotiations in Geneva over the Iranian bomb project that Obama oversees, and his Secretary of State yesterday, that Viet Cong sympathizer, now, weirdly, Secretary of State of the United States. Well, maybe it's not so weird with a president friendly with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, arguably the worst people who rode the tidal wave of social upheaval in the turbulent 1960s. Yesterday, John Kerry, a grandson of apostate Jewish priests, like Bernadine Dorn, whose original name was Dornstein, daughter of a Jew who married out and shortened the name. Yesterday, John Kerry warned, as Susan Rice did the day before, that revealing information about the Geneva talks would destroy relations between Israel and America, which Bibi neatly demolished in his speech, saying he was going to talk about what anybody could Google up. And then he proceeded to do what he does best, talk the talk of geopolitics. His one major book, called A Place Among the Nations, is all about the chess game of international politics, as it was then when it came out in the 80s, about economics and military affairs, which I thought was excellent, but stopped reading it three-quarters of the way through because it got boring. He made his case brilliantly for his view of Israel's place in the Middle East at that time and the danger of our neighbors. But other than that, there was little in that book between the covers that was particularly Jewish. Well, okay, no problem. It was good for what it was. And so today he was excellent in explaining why leaving Iran with any nuclear capabilities and telling them they only had 10 years to restrain themselves in any case and do what they want afterwards was not a good idea. He explained, too, that when Iran goes nuclear, so will the rest of the Middle East. And he rightly depicted the nightmare scenario of these Muslim maniacs with their hands on arsenals of atomic bombs. He said then this would be a problem for the whole world. Oddly, I don't recall him referencing Iran's ICBM program of long-range missiles, which they don't need in any case to destroy Israel, God forbid. They already have short-range rockets for that, i.e., the significance of their long-range rocket program can only mean threatening all states in the world with their atomic bombs. It was a great speech, though I don't think a particularly hard one to deliver, because the bottom line on this issue is just a macro vision of the micro example of the principle of not giving news to a pyromaniac to play with. This business of Iran building atomic bombs is not the most difficult question to answer. Only a lunatic or someone so malevolent would take seriously the idea of allowing Iran to proceed. In light of everything that we know about this regime, as Bibi noted, now 36 years old, only a bad actor like Barack Hussein Obama and his team of fools and knaves, e.g. John Kerry and Susan Rice, would sit at that negotiating table and promise what Prime Minister Netanyahu talked about today. The idea of leaving thousands of centrifuges in the Iranians' hands, and never mind the half-dozen UN resolutions denying them even one. I think the P5 plus one talks with Iran over their A-bomb program is an example of what historian Bat Yaor wrote About a decade and more ago, as she gazed upon what was happening in Europe, she lives in Switzerland. For those who don't know her, Batya O is a pen name drawn from the Bible, from the five books, meaning daughter of the Nile, because she was born in Egypt. She has written book after book on the history of the Jews in Muslim lands, and whatever her intent, she refuted an entire way of Zionist thinking, according to which the anti-Semitism, which gave rise to Zionism in post-Christian Europe, was a wholly owned subsidiary of the West, which was absent from Muslim lands. Nonsense. The Jews in Muslim lands suffered oppression and humiliation, as called for by the Quran, and their lot was really no better than that of the poor Ashkenazi cousins in Jew-hating Christian Europe. From her home in Switzerland, she watched the flood tide of Muslims coming in and coined the term dhimmitude, from the Arabic word dhimma, which denotes a non-Muslim minority allowed to live within Islam, but it must pay, literally, a high financial penalty each year for the privilege of living in Islam and being unmolested in their religious practices, and also suffer daily restrictions on their lives. She saw how the presence of these Muslims in Europe would bend the Europeans to their will and turn them into dhibbi, living in a form of dhimmitude, a word of her invention. The P5 plus 1 talks are an example of this dhimmitude. That's who's sitting at the table with the Iranians, the big shots of the West, the economic leaders who are just dying to invest in Iran. Melissa Francis on Fox TV today said, for example, Apple Corporation is just dying to get into the Iranian market. When the black market there, there's lots of illegal iPods and iPhones. They're all the rage. They want to get in and make it legit. This is dhimmitude. These six countries leading Western civilization sitting there negotiating with the mad mullahs in the old Persian Empire. Bibi was very good at pointing out how Iran is now in control of four Arab capitals, Damascus, Beirut, Baghdad, and Sana'a, and how this empire is spreading. But what I think they're really jawing about, it's really the main course there, if it's given no name, is whether or not Iran will be permitted to build an atomic bomb in order to destroy Israel, God forbid. And that's why our Bibi gave the speech today that he gave. People have compared the Geneva talks to the Munich conference between Neville Chamberlain and the devil in 1938, where they agreed to sacrifice Czechoslovakia to the devil, with no Czech politician participating in their demands. This is also reminiscent in Geneva of the Evian conference, held 2 months before the Munich talks, when dozens of states and NGOs gathered to discuss the rising flood of refugees from Nazism, i.e. Jews running from Hitler's Germany and from Poland and other countries where Jew hatred was fiercely burning. The purpose of the Evian conference was to decide what to do with these people. This is before the Czechs, 2 months later. And there, the Jews were also denied the right to participate in that conference. The Zionists sent a woman to plead the case of the Jews, but she was denied entry. And that was Golda Meir. And that denial shaped her view of the world big time. And for sure, Bibi Netanyahu knows this history. Felt blessed today that he is our leader these days, this highly educated, intelligent, and eloquent man. He got off some memorable sound bites. He knows the importance of a brief epigram as a mnemonic, a memory device containing in a thought worth remembering. For example, I paraphrase, he said, heads of other states worry about their country's security. Israeli leaders worry about their country's survival. Another good one was, quote, sometimes your enemy's enemy is not your friend, but also an enemy. He used that to skewer indirectly Obama and his deep thinker's belief that he can cozy up to Iran because Iran is an ally in combating ISIS. Bibi beautifully said, more or less, but they're the same. One calls itself the Islamic Republic, one calls itself the Islamic State. He alternated between referencing the threat to Israel and the threat to the whole world of this menace of maniacal Islam. So it's a very good thing He is our Prime Minister. If I were in his shoes, I doubt I could have avoided cutting Obama down. Not for his strategic thinking, but his evil intent. Yeah, Obama's evil intent is at the root of today's historic speech. It is the fuel propelling this latest diplomatic brouhaha, this business of the impropriety and breach of protocol inherent in the Congress, inviting Prime Minister Netanyahu to address them, and let's face it, disagree with Imam Barak Hussein, the Muslim crusader. If that is too strong for you, call him the Muslim PR agent. From his first minutes as president, he has been selling Islam to the American people and the world, really, defending Islam to its American victims by, for example, telling the loved ones, grief-stricken, of the soldiers massacred at Fort Hood that Islam had nothing to do with their deaths. Bibi didn't touch this, maybe because there's no delicate way to do that. It is, though, I think, the heart of the matter. His heart. His black heart. As Stephen Hayes pointed out on Fox after the speech, Obama has been from the first, in his days in office, relating to Iran as a potential friend of the United States that can be welcomed back into the family of nations. And I add, ergo, this is Obama's behavior at Geneva, that is, the implementation of his views by his subalterns around that negotiating table. Ergo, starting from the UN position of no centrifuges whatsoever, you start saying, okay, we'll let you have 1,000, and then you later say, no, 2,000. Then you demonstrate your goodwill to the Iranians and get them to play ball with you and reform their behavior. Ultimately, you even promise them that if they behave themselves for only 10 years, they will go free and go back to building an atomic bomb to destroy the Jews' state, God forbid. That's what Bibi analyzed today. Analyzed, that's a good Greek word, which means to break apart. He did a great job of explaining the foolishness of this line of thinking and way of negotiating. Cut a deal, and then 10 years later you can rip it up and pretend it never happened. What was missing, though, I think, was the malevolence, for I think Geneva is for Obama all a charade. The man is a chronic liar. He has been exposed before the whole world in one video clip after another of being a liar, a shameless liar about so many things. So when he says he will not let the Iranians get an atomic bomb, only nitwits and or anti-Jews let him get away with this. Believe him when he says things like that. By contrast, I think, I've said for all of his 6 years in office, that he has no intention of stopping Iran. And therefore, for 6 years, he's just been stalling for time, running out the clock, because he wants Iran to have the bomb. His pursuit of Iran's friendship is as dopey as his almost psychotic insistence that Fort Hood had nothing to do with Islam. If he really thinks he can turn Iran around, then he is as idiotic about human nature as Shimon Peres, Yossi Beilin, Tzipi Livni, and Bougie Herzog. By the way, Bibi's performance today was one reason, I think, Bougie chose not to accompany him and to become a patriotic statesman and assist the prime minister, because Bougie, which in Hebrew is sort of cutie pie as a term of endearment, is a cupcake next to Bibi as a public speaker, let alone a strategic analyst. He would expose himself as a radically inferior leader. How fascinating is the common human self-defense of projection in this case. The Arabs do it all the time, calling us racists when their religion requires them to discriminate against Jews, humiliate and oppress us, as they did for 14 centuries. Bougie and his community say Bibi went to Washington just to get himself reelected. It was a campaign stunt. But in my view, the most politically driven act here is Bougie refusing to support the prime minister and foolishly miss an opportunity to strip him of his monopoly domination of the topic. What is bugging a lot of Israelis these days is not the menace of Iran, but the radical lack of enough hospitals here and doctors and nurses here and the price of apartments for young couples. He could cancel the international crisis by joining it and highlighting the domestic issues. Instead, Bougie boycotted and has been bleating with the rest of his community. Found on the pages of Haaretz that Bibi is destroying the America-Israel relationship. Fox's man in Jerusalem today, a young fellow named O'Connor, obviously was speaking only to the elite journalists here to report on how Israelis are fearful of what this speech will do to this most important alliance, to which I say fiddlesticks. One of the moving sights every time it has happened is Bibi's appearance in Congress and the reception he gets. He is smothered in love, respect, affection. He enters and walks down the aisle through a forest of hands and people smiling from ear to ear with the applause as background music. These leftists here don't know what they're talking about, and or are so envious of him they deny this reality. If yours truly, I find it incredibly moving, for I see the historical background and the true miracle of the event. Here are hundreds of nominal Christians greeting this Jew with such a welcome, and then during his 40-minute speech applauding him 40 times, often rising, most of them, to their feet, the anti-Jews among them, like Rand Paul, could be seen half-heartedly applauding, and but I think such types were in the minority. What a scene after almost 2,000 years of Christians murdering and raping and burning Jews at the stake, after pogroms, massacres, the gas chambers and the crematoria, with many of the Nazi high command, baptized Roman Catholics. Here is this community of mostly Christians, these Americans, who are very different. One of the most astonishing turns in my life has been the evolution of millions of Christians in America, cheering on Israel, reveling in the resurrection of the Holy Land, and the unique alliance between Americans and Jews over Israel. Such events as Bibi's receptions leave me slack-jawed in amazement. In light of the history of Jews and Christians, it is nothing short of a miracle.
Askilu sudasa de memenusa Shlemasa chelvasa de malka kadisha Askilu sudasa de malka Tai sudasa de chakal tapuchi Kadishinu zeran pin Kadishinu zeran pin Vatika kadisha hasyan asada bahada Azamim b'shvachin ve'me'al goy p'schin Telachak al tapuchin de'inun kadishin Nizamin lahashta b'vsarach adeta Uv'minata atavta d'nehara al-reshin Kadishin uzer ampin Kadishin uzer ampin V'atika kadisha asyan desada bada Yemina usmala uvna yuchala Bikishutin azla umanin uvushin Yechabek labala besoida dila Diavid nachyala Yehe katish katishin Tzevachin afaksin betelin ushvisin Baman pin chadetin veruchin im nafshin Chadus agiyei seve al chadat artei Nehoir alayim tei uvir chantin fishin Kadishin uzer anpin Kadishin uzer anpin Ve'atika kadish asya nesada bahada Askinu sudasa di memenusa Shleimasa chet vesade malka kadisha Askinu sudasa di malka Dai sudasa di chakal tapuchin Kadishinu zeran pin Kadishinu zeran pin V'atika kadisha hasya nesada bahada Kvim ushushvinin avidu tikunin Le'apash azinin venunin binrashin Le'mebad nishmasi veruchi chadetin V'satin uslasin V'slas ashivshin Kadishinu zeran pin, Kadishinu zeran pin. עתיקה קדישה עשיין אסדה בהדה אסדה לדרובה מנתה דסימה ושוחה נמנמה בצפון האשים בחמרה גויכה סמדנה יעשה לארוס פרוסה ואיתה כבר חלשים
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Not surprisingly today, of the 28 members of the House and Senate who are nominally Jews, all of them Democrats but one, there were those who boycotted the speech, and by their boycott were making a statement that Barack Hussein was their president and not the leader of Israel. When it comes to the fate of Israel, Barack Obama's desires are their desires. Like Stephen Decatur Jr., who famously gave the toast, "My country, right or wrong, but always my country." That's for Al Franken and Bernie Sanders and Brian Schatz and Jan Schakowsky of Illinois and Steve Cohen of Tennessee, all the boycotters. They seem to be saying, it's my anti-Semitic president who hates America, right or wrong. Schakowsky has been in office since 1998 and is known as one of the most radical of lefties. Bernie Sanders is the old post-Jewish atheist from Brooklyn who was a member in the 1960s as a student of SNCC. SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, arguably the most anti-Semitic of the Negro civil rights groups. Rosa Luxemburg, the famous old red in the beginning of the 20th century in Germany, was murdered in 1919 for her politics. She used to turn up her nose as well at the fate of the Jews because she, like Bernie Sanders, was an enlightened internationalist. Brian Schatz of Hawaii, of course, stayed away. He's intermarried. Al Franken, I know nothing of his wife, only of him as an utterly talentless comedian who never once made yours truly laugh. His career was always a mystery to me. And then yesterday, I saw for the first time Representative Stephen Cohen on Megyn Kelly, I think it was, speaking of his boycott, who came across as so de-Judaized he could not pronounce Bibi's name properly. The Hebrew was so foreign to him. I judge these boycotters like all the post-Jewish assimilated ones, like the Jew boys in the State Department. At best, they are lost sheep, lost to the flock, which in its prayers sees itself as the flock of Hashem, as in, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jewish people have always seen themselves as God's flock, whom he looks after and guides, even when its fate is to be mauled by wolves and wild asses of men, be they Nazis, Catholic priests, or Ishmaelites. There also was an oddity yesterday, as a kind of a prelude to today's historic speech, which was the speech given by John Kerry before the UN Human Rights Council, I guess as part of the Obama counteroffensive. It was an easy thing to do, an easy target, a cheap shot, really. Kerry criticized those 47 representatives of anti-Jew countries for their obsessive fixation, biased and unfair, he said, with Israel. I imagine it was his and Obama's way of saying, see, we're not anti-Israel. See how we defend Israel from those bad men and women in that council. But I say that's a cheap shot meant to deflect the mind away from seeing they're toying with the future of this century's 6 million Jews facing a potential new Holocaust, God forbid, at the hands of these Muslim maniacs in Tehran who openly and shamelessly sound just like Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, in their public expression of their wish to exterminate the Jewish people. I was sorry today that Bibi was not more explicit about this. He properly read a tweet from the high priest Khomeini in Iran, advertising his desire not only to destroy the Jewish state, but Jews everywhere. I only wish he had hammered home for those who did not quite get it that these Iranians, as I say, are this generation's Nazis. Leastwise, that is how I interpret that tweet. Khomeini is not only expressing the old thought among Jew haters that the creation of Israel has had at least one advantage, and that it collects the Jews all in one place, which makes it much easier to exterminate them all. Okay, so this is my last webcast before my annual break. I'll be speaking over the next month in the same Passaic Shul this Motzi Shabbos, God willing. Also, I'll be in L.A. at the Lux Hotel on Sunset, Wednesday evening, March 18, speaking for children of Jewish Holocaust survivors. And the following Shabbos, I will be and speaking at the Young Israel in Irvine, California. I think Bibi did a good thing today. When Barack Hussein announces his agreement with Iran, Congress will pay greater attention and do, or at least try to do, what's right and prevent this anti-Jew from carrying out his nefarious scheme, whatever its final form. Bibi's speech also illuminated, for yours truly, just why Obama and Rice and Kerry were so anxious to prevent his speech. At some level of awareness, they knew Bibi would shoot holes through their idiotic and or wicked plan, exposing its foolishness, not to say immorality. As Neville Chamberlain was wrong to negotiate with the devil after 6 years in power in Germany and his lunatic persecution of the Jews up to that time and still prior to the final solution, so the P5 plus one countries, and especially the United States, should not be negotiating at all with these enemies of civilization, the Iranian high priests of Islam. Let alone make concessions to them, as Obama and henchmen are making. Let us hope that if and when Obama and Kerry announce an agreement, there'll be enough representatives in the House and Senate to remember this speech and let out a howl and do whatever is necessary and possible to stymie Barack Hussein's ugly desires. So, Laila Tov and Chag Purim Sameach. During my absence, as usual, there will be replays of particularly successful webcasts over the last year, and it may be interesting to compare what was said in months past and the situation now. So, have an easy fast tomorrow. Tzom Kal, and Laila Tov Mi Harei Yehuda.